whenever I have a lesson like this to teach, I'm reminded of that portion of the scripture in Corinthians. These things were written for learning and admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come. God has preserved the successes and the faiths of these people and these kings particularly. And the study of the king is always interesting because they have such tremendous influence. And they demand our attention. It was wonderful when Israel had good kings, and it was bad when they didn't because they had such widespread influence. Now our lesson today is about a very wonderful man called Jehoshaphat. And I want to record about Jehoshaphat, first of all, his successes. Then I want to record his failures. Then I want to talk about his crisis. And then I want to talk about the after this in his life. Quote, after, colon, or dash, this, the after this of his life, unquote, incidentally. All those quotation marks, you can't hear them when I say them, but they're there. So he wants to talk about the after this of his life. Elliot Van Ryan, and I'm not going to do this, except just to demonstrate Elliot Van Ryan. I don't know whether he told you here about a brother who had a message. And during this message, he would do this. He'd say a few words, and he'd do this. And he repeated that. And he'd do this, say a few words, and then he would do this. And they asked him why he did that, and he said, well, that's quote and unquote. And so the after this is a quote. It's a quote from the scripture. After this. You know, there are a few of them in the scripture. I haven't made a study about the after thises of the scripture, but they're interesting. And it's too bad that he didn't finish in the scripture account as well as he might have. That was true of Solomon. You know, I think that we as Christians don't need to relax on our vigil at any time in our Christian experience. Every dispensation that we've had in the scriptures have started well, but they haven't finished yet. And that's going to be true even of the millennium. It just shows the inability of a human being to stay with God's principle. It shows the inability of the flesh to cope. It just will not cope. The flesh is opposed to God. And that's true in a very spiritual sense. I think it's true even in some of our assemblies. They start well. But sometimes there's an after this. Well, we'll try to get to that. That's going to be a long ways down the road, and I'll try to get there. But let's notice, first of all, his successes. The successes of this man, Jehoshaphat, that had a godly father. I think that Asa's rule and over the children of Israel has to merit the commendation of the Lord, although he did something in his life that was very ill-advised. He relied on the king of Syria instead of the Lord, and he had to be rebuked. Now, Jehoshaphat comes along, and I'm sorry to say, before we get through with our study this morning, that he will do the same thing that he wanted to. Now, this should make us, indeed, careful that we don't set bad precedents. Possible to do that. Now, he started out well. In the 17th chapter of 2 Chronicles, we read, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, which were the enemies of Judah at that time. And he placed forces in all the 10 cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. There was a reason for the Lord's favor. Now, I think that sometimes we get the impression that if things, the circumstances don't go right in our lives, that we haven't been living right. Sometimes I facetiously say, when I hit a whole string of stoplights and they all turn red just before I get there, I say, well, I must not be living right. And we're in trying to gauge our spiritual condition by circumstances. But let me say this, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. God does indicate by his blessing upon us that we are doing what he wants us to do, and conversely, he indicates by his lack of blessing that we're not following on in the paths of the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat went on for God. He walked in the ways of his father David. And the next verse says, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments, and not after the things of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance. Now, God was able to bless him. God cannot confirm a wrong pathway of a Christian with his blessing. Now, I know that sometimes we have to take circumstances into account here. Sometimes we are blessed. And I think of this particularly, if God waited for us to be in a perfect spiritual condition before he blessed us, he'd never bless us. He just wouldn't do it. But, because we're not in that perfect spiritual condition, but we in our overall spiritual condition, we indeed can merit the blessing of the Lord. But he does not confirm our lives if we're walking away from the Lord. He does not confirm them with blessing. He does confirm them with blessing. The Lord showed to Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, I am pleased with the way you're doing things. Now the reason was that he walked with the Lord. The Lord was with Joshua because he walked in the first ways of his father David. Now, first of all, what was the secret of his success? Verse 4, sought to the Lord God of his father. But sought to the Lord God of his father. He got into the presence of the Lord. He sought him. He sought the presence of the Lord. For wisdom, for leading, for guidance. No, it doesn't say that here. But I think I know. He was a king. He had responsibility. And he wanted to know how that he might serve his people well. He sought to the Lord God of his father. And then because of that, he walked in his commandment, not after the kings of Israel. If we will seek the Lord, we will walk in his commandment. If we will fellowship with him, we will indeed walk in his commandment. Now this was the policy of Jehoshaphat. He prayed. He got into the presence of God. He was concerned about the leading and guidance of the Lord in this matter of being king. And what king wouldn't there be? I know when President Lyndon Johnson was, and I think Harry Truman said the same thing, when they were forced into office through the death of their predecessor, they asked for the prayer of God's people. I remember that. Both of them did. They asked for the prayer of God's people. They were concerned about having all this responsibility thrust upon them. They thought they wanted the Lord to help. I'm glad I live in a nation like that. They felt the overwhelming responsibility. I am president of the United States. And I have some responsibility. This man had responsibility. For he sought to the Lord God of his father. You know, it's wonderful to having it accessible, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful in our lives, when our lives are perhaps at a dead-end corner, we don't know which way to go, to have the Lord to go to? It's wonderful the guidance that we can get when we're asking for it. He wants to guide us. It's wonderful for the peace of mind that we can get when we pray. I may have told you that I had a more or less some problems, and not too long ago I was monumental in character, but they were piling up. And I got into the presence of the Lord and I had it out with the Lord. I laid those things out. I spread them out. And when I got up off my knees, I had a peace that was real. And then I challenged my own mind, why didn't you do this before? And oh, how much it would relieve our mind if they just do like the outside did. He sought out the Lord. This was purposely done. He just simply didn't say prayer. He sought the Lord. So, the result was he walked in his commandments, not after the doing or the kings that are doing that Israel, the kings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established his kingdom in his hands. He wanted that kingdom to be established. That's what he was praying about, I believe. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance. You know, the people of God can detect, I think, when we're in fellowship with the Lord. I think they can. I think the people of God are aware of that. Judah was aware of the fact that this man was seeking the Lord, and it influenced their attitudes. They brought him their presence, and he had riches and honor and abundance. They're back of him. You know, people want to be led. They revere. They do revere a good leader. And Jehoshaphat was acting right. Thank God for that. He was acting right, and they took it into account, and they were glad. Now, in verse 6, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves of Judah. Now, this was a part of his reform. This was a part of his success. This is a negative thing. He did some positive things first, and then he started on the negative thing. He took away the groves and the high places. The high places in those days were used in their idol worship. I don't know why they chose the high place. Maybe it was breezy up there. And they planted groves so that they could be comfortable in their worship. And they associated the two together, the high places and the groves. As a matter of fact, even the temple, if you remember, was built on a high place. It was a threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And the threshing floors were built on the high places so the wind would get to them. And that's the site of the temple. Now, the heathen followed suit, when they worshiped Baal, they followed suit. They established the high places. And they built groves there, built trees. You remember Gideon cut down a grove because that's where they took shelter. Gideon cut down the grove and destroyed the altar of Baal. Well, Jehoshaphat did the same thing. Now, he says there are some things that need to be straightened up here in my kingdom. Well, he went to work. And he cut down those groves. And he destroyed those high places. Destroy them just like Gideon. Now, you know, this to me, this means this. There are things in our lives that need to be judged. There are things in our lives that we need to take away. Tear down, cut out, eliminate. Now, I know this is negative. This is negative, not positive. That's necessary. Yes, it is. We need to judge ourselves in this respect. And so that we have to chalk up. as one of his successors. He got rid of the high places and the crow. Perhaps we could do well to get rid of some of our idols. Now, I'm not going to dwell long on that subject because I might tramp on your toes. I don't dwell tramping on people's toes particularly. But you know, we can have idols. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. We can make idols out of an automobile. Young men, I think, do that particularly. Teenagers, I think, you know. That car, oh, I tell you, that automobile. And it can really take the place of a mortgage. Or a motorcycle. No, I believe in driving a car that will give you a reasonable expectancy of reaching your destination, but I don't think we ought to make idols out of them. Or anything, for that matter. Anything. Okay. Okay, they got rid of the idols. You cut down the groves and destroy the high places. Okay, it's part of it. Part of it is there. And it's the part that you and I have to consider in our lives. We need to get rid of some things sometimes in our lives. Now next, he caused the law to be taught. In verse 7 we read there, and in the third year of his reign he sent his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah and Nethaneel and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebediah, and Asahel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehonathan. I'll tell you, some of these are tongue twisters. And Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tob Adonijah, Levite, and with them Elishama, and Jehoram, priest. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about to all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, how necessary is this, teaching the people of God. And learning from the law. Pardon me, this is the only Bible they have. And I'm presuming this refers to the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. They needed it, and they taught it. That same thing happened in Ezra's time of the man, remember. He read the law. Remember, they didn't stop at an hour. They were there all day. And they read the law, and he gave it the sense. He expounded it, in other words, which is the same thing. So here, this has to be taken into consideration. This return to the book, return to the law. You and I need to be sure that this word has a real place in our life. I don't mean just a psalm or two. I mean to study it and to read it. Oh, it is so necessary. That was certainly a huge credit. Now, because of this, in verse 10, read there, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against him. Isn't that remarkable? The fear of the Lord. The Lord influenced people to leave Jehoshua, or Jehoshaphat rather, alone. Now God can do that. He has peace. Well, I just quoted, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Here is the fulfillment of that. He wouldn't let them make war, Jehoshaphat. You know, God can show his favor. And it's real. Believe me, it's real. Verse 11. Notice this, if you please. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. And the tribute silver. And the Arabians brought in cloth, 7,700 rand, and 7,700 he goats. Jehoshaphat likes great expense. Israel and Judah, castles and cities of war. Now, he made provision for all these cities of store so that they would have food in the right time, that they would preserve their food. And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, men of valor, were in Jerusalem. Now, he built up an army. These are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers of Judah, the captains of the thousands, Abner, the chief, and with him, mighty men of valor, 300,000. Then there was Jehanan, Jehohanan, a man, rather, and with him there were 218,000, verse 15. Amaziah, 200,000 with him in verse 16. Eliada, 200,000 with him in verse 17. Jehozabad, with him, 180,000 in verse 18. Now that makes 1,160,000 men. That is quite a standing line. He knew he had enemies and an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. He was prepared. We have enemies too. We need to prepare for our enemies. The enemies that you and I have are real. I'm going to talk more about that later. Now I want to notice some of his failures. It was well that he fortified himself, and we need fortification too. Now let's talk about his failures. Failures, and we have to go to chapter 18 for this. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined vicinity with Ahab. Why? What did he need of Ahab? And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. I should think he would. He had a standing army that could really come to his rescue when he needed it. And for the people that he had with him and persuaded him to go up with him to reign of Gilead. Now, you know, some of these unholy alliances, and this was an unholy alliance, can really get us into trouble. It can really get us into trouble. Now, I could wax eloquent on this for the rest of the morning about unholy alliances. I'll say this, and let go of that. I think Satan's greatest victory in the life of a Christian is to link him up to an unsaved self. I think more is accomplished in one fell stroke in that area, an unholy alliance. We could be on guard against it. I don't know why he did this. Oh, I suppose that he thought of their beginnings together, but Ahab was wicked. Married Jezebel, and she compounded his wickedness. And so, because of his alliance, he got himself into a war, and he almost got himself killed. Because he went up, and they fought, and they went into this war against his enemies. He said in verse 3, Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go up with me to reign of Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. Not quite. And we will be with thee in the war. Jehoshaphat said unto the kings of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, unto the king of Israel, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And therefore the king of Israel gathered together of the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? They said, go up, for the God will deliver it into the king's hand. They knew that that's what the king wanted to do. Here. I think I made a statement the last time I was here. When we ask for advice, we generally want the advice that we want. And that's the advice that we want. We really want advice. And we want somebody to confirm our path. And that's what he wanted. And that's what he got. Now these 400 prophets were not prophets of the Lord. Jehoshaphat knew that. Jehoshaphat says, I want a prophet of the Lord. So they got Micaiah, and he was not on good terms, incidentally, with Ahab. And did I get his name correctly? Yes, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And so he says, I want to hear what he has to say. So Micaiah comes on the scene, and Ahab says, now, he said that Micaiah, before he ever got there, this was not in Micaiah's head, but he said, I hate that man. He never prophesied good concerning me. Well, he didn't deserve it. So when Micaiah came on the scene, he said, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead? Micaiah says, go up. For the Lord will prosper you and deliver it in your name. It'll be delivered in your name. And he didn't believe him. He said, this can't be true. He said, I told you. I told you. You know, you just can't please some people. And then Micaiah came out of the truth. He said, I saw the angels of the Lord, some of them, coming into his presence, spirits, they're called here. And he says, now, how are we going to get Ahab up to that battle so he'll be slain? Ahab time has run out. So one of the spirits says, I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet. And I'll entice him to go up. And so he said, go ahead, if you say that. That's what he wants to hear. And then he said, this true prophet of the Lord said, this is going to be your defeat. He warned him, absolutely. And he said, he tells him in verse, let's see, where did he begin on that? Verse 23 of the 18th chapter, then Zedekiah the son of Chinanoth came near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way of the Spirit of the Lord to me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus hath the king put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, till I return in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken unto me. And he said unto hearken. And he said, hearken, all ye people. So they went up to this battle, and Ahab said, now I'm going to frustrate this man's prophecy. I'm going to disguise myself. They won't know me from an ordinary soldier. Jehoshaphat went up in his kingly robe. Well, the enemy, the Moabites, surrounded Jehoshaphat and thought they had the king of Israel. But God miraculously turned them away. They made up their mind he was not the king of Israel. You see, he was in his kingly robe. So it looked like Ahab had frustrated the prophecy of Micaiah. But a man drew a bow at a venture and shot a arrow into the earth. And it went through its arc and it landed between the joints of Ahab's armor and inflicted a fatal wound. That archer couldn't miss. Micaiah was right. The man died. Ahab died. You would think that he had learned his lesson. Now later, in chapter 20, he is beset by a crisis. And incidentally, this crisis was caused by the fact that he went up with it. To fight with Ahab, because the same people came back. Only they got more with them. Not only Moab this time, but Ammon and the Edomites. Three of them. Three nations gang together. Now, the start of this whole thing was when I went up and made an alliance with Ahab. And the ill will that he got from the Moabites at that time caused his crisis. This is what we call your chickens coming home to roost. Be not deceived, God is not lost. For whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he also reaps. All right, this is his reason. Now he doesn't have one reason. More right, right again. He has the Ammonite. He has the Edomite. He got into the presence of the Lord. Believe me. Verse 3 of chapter 20, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They sought. Now, the Lord gave them some instructions. All right, get your army out and go down there. And incidentally, he reassured them through the message of Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the prophet of the Lord. And he told them, you're going to get this victory and you're not even going to fight. But take your army nevertheless and go down there. And they went. They went just as the Lord instructed them. And you know what happened? Those three nations got fighting among themselves. And they eliminated each other. Now, it's interesting to me to note that there are three nations, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. They wanted to fight, so they thought he said it. We have a threefold enemy. We need to be on guard. And we need to get into the presence of the Lord about that enemy. Our help is in the Lord because we can fail. We can be defeated if we are not dependent upon the Lord. Our enemies are too strong for us. We have to remember that. Now, they're not too strong for the Lord, and I don't mean to infer that we should live our lives in mortal fear of our threefold enemy. I don't mean that. But I mean we need to be very, very realistic about the enemy that we have fight against. All right. They destroyed each other, and the spoil was so great they were 3 days. Now this was an army. And an army can gather a lot of spoil. They were 3 days in gathering spoil. Now, this has a lovely occasion, and I should have saved more time for it. You and I have won a battle. We're more than conquered to him that loves us. We're more than conquered because we haven't fought. And yet the victory is ours. Christ fought on the cross. He gained the victory single-handed. And we are more than conquerors. Just like Jehoshaphat, that didn't have a thing to do, didn't have anything that he needed to do. You and I have a victory that will never fail. Because of Christ. A victory that we attained and we didn't have to fight. Oh, what a storybook this is. Now that after this, verse 35 of chapter 20, and after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Oh, Jehoshaphat, will you never learn? Okay. He joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made ships in Egyptian Gaber. And Elijah, the son of Zodobal, the Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they might not be able to go to Tarshish. Unholy alliances for commercial purposes aren't very good either. And we have to learn that. And just after this, we are not to make unholy alliances in any area of our lives. When it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, that means business partners, just the same as it means spouses. And there was an after this. And I am sorry to have to read that about Jonathan. After this, he made an alliance with Ahaziah, he has done very, very well. You and I need to keep from both encumbering our land and just depend wholly and fully upon the Lord's favor. Father, we do thank thee for thy word and for what we have learned from Jehoshaphat today. We pray, Father, that we might take these things to heart and then they cleave to the Lord and